2 Peter chapter 1, and just something I want you to keep in mind as we're going through this. I'm just always trying to set up the lesson and kind of what direction we're going in this study of 2 Peter. I can remember several years ago when I first started doing a Watchman broadcast. At the end of it, I'd give a little news and, you know, Bible verses, things like that. And I kind of was doing a Bible study at the end of it. Well, that kind of, I kind of split them off after that. And I did a Watchman, then I did a Bible study. Still doing both of those to this day. But I started out the Bible study in 1 Peter. And I had several people write me. One lady in particular, they were begging me to quit putting so much into 1 Peter. And I don't understand that. And they said, Peter was not written for us. That's not for us. 1 and 2 Peter is not for us. And here's proof. And she gave me a guy's website to go to. Go look at his and read all of his articles, and then you'll understand why Peter is not for us, it's for the Jews. And I went, that's not what it says. Not what it says. Amen. And they make a big deal that it's different types of dispensationalism. They make a big deal about Peter was the apostle to the Jews and Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, and the never the twain shall meet. They had two different gospels. And I said, no, that's bogus. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and said that he was saved by grace. He did that in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. When you get to Acts chapter 10, the first group of Gentile people to ever be preached the gospel to was not preached by Paul. Peter had a vision. The sheet coming down, knit at the four corners with the animals on it. And he said, rise, kill, and eat. Three times he said that. And then Peter realized that he was supposed to go to Cornelius' house and preach to the Gentiles. Those were the unclean animals. That's us. We're the pigs. Amen. And I'm the hog herd of all y'all. That's what the name means. Hog herd. Hoggard. Hog guard. Okay? We're the unclean animals. And God did not dispatch Paul to preach the first sermon to the Gentiles. He sent Peter to do it. And I think that was as much for Peter as it was for... Paul didn't have a problem because Paul started out preaching to the Jews. And the more he preached to them, the madder he got. He said, I'm done. I'm done in the synagogues. I'm done preaching you people. I'm going to go to the Gentiles. Peter's the one who needed to go to the Gentiles first. That was as much for Peter as it was for anybody, because you know Peter struggled with that. He was a Jew. And he struggled with these unclean things called Gentiles and how they could be saved without being circumcised and keeping the law of Moses. And they settled that issue in Acts chapter 15, and it's done and over with. And God saves everybody by grace through faith. Amen? So we're going to study 2 Peter. And delight those of you who love the Bible and make mad those of you who don't. Amen? But he said, now here's what we're setting up for you. He goes into the... We've talked about this, but it's been 2 weeks. We didn't have church Wednesday night. If you came here, you were bored last Wednesday night. So it's been a couple weeks. But he starts talking about... In verse 14 of 2 Peter, he's talking about, I'm going to leave here in a little while, and I'm going to leave this tabernacle, and here's what I want you to know, and I want you to remember this. He said, we didn't follow fables, we're not going on mythology, we didn't make these stories up, or we did not take somebody else's word. He said, I'm telling you, I am a witness of what I saw. I am telling you what I saw, what I heard with my own ears. I heard the voice, I saw Jesus glorified, I saw His face shining as the sun. I was there. I'm telling you, I heard God's voice say out loud, this is my beloved Son. And he said, I'm telling you that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. But I've got something better for you than my mouth. And this is what he says. Verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. He's establishing something that is absolutely critical for God's people to know and to understand, because he's going to lead into, in chapter 2, false prophets,
false teachers,
false doctrine, how to spot them, what the
marks of them are, how to treat them.
My microphone not
doing well.
Dead battery. Hang on here. Let me see if I can... Is that what this battery up here is for? No. Yeah, here we go. Is this good? All right. Anyway, false teachers, false prophets, false doctrines, false everything. He's telling you what's going on with them, why they do what they do, he gives you examples in chapter 2. It's an amazing chapter. It's full of knowledge. And then in chapter 3, he's going to teach you something about how to spot the times that we're in, the seasons and so on. He's laying out some very, very important things. And he's talking about how the world's going to end. And so, going back to chapter 1, in verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. This is something, I'm basically just kind of rehashing a study that I did, I'm going to say probably 15 years ago, I put this together. And it's been I like to go through it. It's been a blessing to me. I've done it in different places I've gone to. I may have done it here a long time ago. I don't know. But I'm just going on some old notes and adding some things in here. Something I did 15 years ago. You say, well, how come you ain't studying? I am. Trust me. Okay. But anyway, I like going through this. It was a blessing to me. When God first started dealing with me about issues of the Bible and issues of what we're supposed to believe and how we're supposed to believe it. So somebody tells me I'm not supposed to be studying 1 Peter and 2 Peter. That's what somebody said. I don't know if I can believe that. I don't know if I can trust that or not. I got to see it in my Bible. That's got to be in black and white and red. Amen. I got to see it. I got to see the words on the page or I'm not going to believe it. So what I'm just laying out for you is some very, very simple things on how God is revealed to us. The nature of God, the character of God, the plan of God, the salvation of God, the second coming and the first coming of Jesus Christ and all the things that pertain to that. He's telling us how we can absolutely know for sure. When he says a sure word of prophecy, in fact, he said a more sure word of prophecy. Peter was an apostle. Christ gave him that office. The apostles wrote the doctrines of the church, of the New Testament. They wrote the doctrines of grace. God used those men. When they spoke in authority. Peter was not the only one. He was not the chief apostle over all the other apostles. He was not the first pope. Amen. Bible doesn't say that, doesn't teach that. In fact, the Catholic doctrine of the popes is that when he speaks, he's infallible. Did you know that it's recorded in your Bible that Paul went to Peter, confronted him publicly to the face about how he was wrong in what he was doing? That does not sound like papal infallibility to me. Amen? By the way, Peter had a wife. You know how we know Peter had a wife? The Bible talks about Peter's mother-in-law. That's a wife attached to that. Amen? So anyway, Peter was not the first pope. He did not have primacy over the other apostles, but he did speak with authority. But he's telling you, I'm speaking, I'm telling you the truth, but you've got something far better and far greater than just me talking. You have a more sure word of prophecy. It is absolutely certain. If you read it in the Bible says it, that's it, it's over and done with. Whether you decide to believe it or not, it does not alter God's commandments. Can I hear you say amen? So here's where I want to pick this up at. Let's see, I can't even remember where I left off a couple weeks ago. So I'm just going to kind of jump in here. Take your Bible, turn to Isaiah 45. And just kind of be ready to turn and thumb through your Bible, okay? That won't hurt you. Unless your arthritis is acting up because we got some strange weather moving in. Okay? I can feel it already creeping in my bones, Wayne. Oh yeah, hands get sore and back and everything like that. And I moan and whine and groan like I'm dying. And Lisa says, what's wrong with you? And she's got a right. She's birthed babies, and so I don't think I hurt near that bad. I don't think. So anyway, this won't hurt you to thumb through your Bible and look at verses, make little notes and things like that. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 19. God said, I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Now let's break this down very quickly. Number one, I have not spoken a secret in a dark place of the earth. What does he mean by that? Religions around the world, most of them are what we call mystery religions. They have mystery doctrines. They have a secret cabal on the inner circles. Those are the ones who have the truth. Those are the ones who have the secrets. They feel like nobody on the outside can hear what the truth really is or what the doctrines really are. No one can know what's going on. The Vatican has a library of books and codexes that go back thousands of years, and many of them will never see the light of day. For some reason, nobody can see what some of those books have to say. That always just makes you suspicious, right? It's like, you know, we used to have a school here and I'd catch kids writing notes. What does that note say? Nothing. Well, it's got to say something. No, it doesn't say anything. Well, why don't you let me see it? Because there's a secret on that note. It's something that I found one time. I had to call the dad in on the deal, okay? I'm not kidding you. But anyway, God said, I didn't speak in secret. Jesus said, watch this. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, what I've spoken in your ear, you proclaim from the housetops. I don't give. Let me tell you a little story. There's these little false gospels that were written after Christ left the scene in the days when Paul and Mark and Matthew and these guys were writing out what God was laying on their heart. There were people of corrupt minds who were writing variant stories about Jesus. The gospel of Mary Magdalene, the gospel of Thomas, the gospel of Peter. Peter did not write a gospel. Somebody else wrote a gospel, put Peter's name on it. And it has doctrines that are contrary to what's in your Bible. You can go to the bookstore and there's people that publish them and they advertise them. The lost books of the Bible that the church doesn't want you to read. Make it sound like there's some big secret that God's keeping. What else is called the gospel according to, get this, Judas. There's one copy. They found one copy. And it was pretty mangled, but they kind of pieced it together. And the story of the Gospel of Judas goes like this. Judas was actually the closest disciple to Jesus. Jesus liked him more than he liked anybody else. He trusted him. And Jesus went to Judas one day. And the idea is that Jesus did not get his knowledge and his understanding from God, his Father. He got it from John the Baptist. And according to the story, John the Baptist was part of a secret society called the Essenes, which is where the Dead Sea Scrolls come from. So Jesus was a disciple of John the Baptist, and he had this secret doctrine, and he decides that he's going to give it to Judas, his most trusted disciple. But he goes to him, and he says, Judas, we need to do something here. We need to play like good cop, bad cop. I'm going to be the good cop. I need you to be the bad guy. And Judas said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. So according to the Gospel of Judas, Jesus transmitted this secret knowledge, this secret doctrine to Judas, and then had Judas make it look like he was betraying Jesus so Jesus could become a martyr, so the doctrine and the story of Jesus would flourish throughout all humanity. Pretty slick, isn't it? Did you know that Jesus in your Bible called Judas the son of perdition? That title, 2 Thessalonians 2, goes to the Antichrist. That's who God, Jesus, thought about Judas. They were not good cop, bad cop. They were not on the same team. Amen? But that's what's out there. God said, I didn't speak in secret. And when I sent and delivered the doctrines, they were not to be kept secret. He said, go tell everybody what's going on in here. You go tell everybody what I said. You go tell everybody what I taught you. You tell everybody the doctrines. And that's what God had already said that back in Isaiah. I've not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob seeking me in vain. I the Lord, I like this part. I the Lord speak righteousness. You know what that means? Your Bible is a book of righteousness. It is what Paul said, it is instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished into all good works. If God is going to do it, He's going to do it according to His righteousness. And God spoke His righteousness in our Bibles for us. And He said, I declare things that are right. Now I want you to take your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. You're going to recognize this as we're reading it. You're going to say, you know what, I've heard that before. I have read that before somewhere. And I want you to, I want to see if you can tell me where that is
in your Bible.
Okay? I want you to tell me because I don't think I remember. Yeah, I do. Never mind. I got it. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Are you there? Say amen. Verse 11. This was what Moses was telling everybody. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? Have you heard that before? That's in another place in the Bible. Okay? Then look at verse 13. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? Then he says in verse 14, now you might recognize this, but the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. You know what he's teaching here? God doesn't have a secret book up in heaven that no one can get to, that we need to send somebody up to heaven to go down and get that. Now I want to take that concept, I want to take you back to Genesis chapter 3, and remember what the serpent spoke to Eve. What he told her was, yea, hath God said, thou shalt not eat of every tree of the garden. And then she said, you know, God said we can't eat of it, neither should touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know. And what he's doing with Eve, he's introducing a secret doctrine that God did not deliver to her husband, Adam. Adam is a prototype of Christ. Do you get that? Adam gave the doctrine to his wife, Eve. Christ brings us the doctrine from heaven, okay? And so the serpent is introducing to Eve something that she's not heard before. It wasn't in her Bible anywhere that Adam gave her. For God doth know that in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt be, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He is the one who introduced secret doctrines. I've said this before, and I'll say it again till the day we die. In this church, we do not have one set of teachings for everybody to hear out here and another one in a closed room somewhere. We don't have that. If we were to go to somebody's house to try to talk to them about the Lord, they could ask us any question about anything that we say or do or believe inside of this church. And it would match, what we would tell them would match exactly what's being done in here. In fact, I believe it so much, we put cameras all over the rooms and microphones. We're trying to spread it out throughout the whole earth. Amen? We want everybody to know what's going on. He said, the word is nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. God wouldn't require it of you if He has not first put the word at you or toward you so you could know it. Where does that show up? Does anybody know? Who used that quotation to teach salvation? Go ahead, Alicia. Romans 10. Very good. Turn to Romans 10. Do what? She pulled up my PowerPoint from the cloud. Actually, it's not in my PowerPoint. I was trying to remember where it was. I thought I had it in my notes and I didn't. Okay? Romans chapter 10. I mean, this is, here's, God said it to Moses. Moses said it to the people. Now God, in the New Testament, saying the same thing again. There wasn't a mystery back then. There isn't a mystery now. He said, I'm giving you the word. You comply with the word. You do the word. Romans chapter 10, verse 5, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who's, you know what he's, I like this. He's showing you how the gospel of grace through faith was in the Old Testament. That's what he's teaching you. And I have been taught by the same people who tell me I should not study 1 Peter and 2 Peter. The same people try to tell me that in the Old Testament, God saved everybody by works. It's a lie. God hasn't saved anybody ever since the creation by the works of the law. No one did them. No one did them. Paul is showing you that the doctrine of grace through faith is in the law. It's in the Old Testament. He said, the righteousness which is of faith speaketh also in this wise, say not in thine heart. And he is quoting back there in Deuteronomy chapter 30. He said, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You believe that? Say amen. 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 I love it. I love it. Mike, the grace and the faith that you and I are supposed to have, once we get a hold of it, we see it. You can find it on just about every page. I don't care if you're in Genesis. I don't care if you're in Ecclesiastes. I don't care where you are. You can find the gospel of grace through faith all throughout your Bible. God never tried to hide that. Now, let's see here. Where do I want to go here? Let's see. Let me run through some. In fact, turn to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. There's a couple places there we're going to go to. We'll be in Amos and so on. But let's just kind of walk through the Bible tonight, all right? Daniel chapter 2. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. What was it about the dream that was so remarkable? When he awoke, he didn't remember it, but he knew he had one. I've had those myself, amen? Some of the most beautiful music I have ever written in my life was written in my dreams. And I'd go, this is amazing. I need to remember this when I wake up. And I wake up and I'm going, I have no idea what that was. Anyway, and that's what happened. So here's this dream, and it's hidden, and he doesn't remember it, but he knows it means something, and it's troubling him. So he calls all of his astrologers, his soothsayers, he calls all the witches. He calls all the people of the false religions, and he says, tell me the dream, tell me the interpretation of it. And they're pretty slick. They said, King Nebuchadnezzar, wise king, you give us the dream, and we'll be sure to tell you the interpretation. He said, no. If you're such bad boys with figuring stuff out, you tell me what I dreamed. And they said, oh, sir, no one has ever done that. And he said, well, if you don't do it, I'm going to kill every one of you. Daniel got wind of it. Daniel heard it, and he went to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he said, boys, we're in trouble. They're going to kill every one of us. Let's pray. Daniel and those three men prayed. And they said, God, it's up to you. You can do whatever you want to. But God, if you want us to live, then you're going to have to give us the dream and the interpretation. And God, it probably wouldn't be a bad thing if you would just do this. And that would show old Nebuchadnezzar there's somebody bigger than him and all his gods and his soothsayers. Somebody say amen. And God did that. In fact, you follow the first four chapters of the book of Daniel. You know what you're going to see? You're going to see I think I'm going to see Nebuchadnezzar in heaven. Daniel 1, 2, 3, and 4 shows you the progression of how God changed this king's mind from being a pagan, false god worshiper to confessing at the end of Daniel chapter 4 that there is only one God. And he's the God of the Hebrews. And he said, I serve him. I like that. Amen? I like that. But anyway, Daniel is talking about his God. He's introducing his God. So he says in Daniel 2 verse 22, he said, he, my God, revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. And he's saying, Nebuchadnezzar, don't fear. I have the dream because the God that I serve, the dream that you had is in the deepest chambers of your mind. It's there. Nobody can know it. Nobody can bring it out. But I serve the God who, it doesn't matter how deep it is, it doesn't matter how far underwater it is or underground it is, my God knows that it's there. He knew where Achan's treasure was, didn't he? You can't hide it from God, amen? He knew where Jonah was. You can't hide from God. You can't run from him, amen? David said, if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. My God is everywhere, Nebuchadnezzar. And then he says in verse 30, now you watch this. Here's where we see where a lot of the clergy go wrong. This is something that God hit me with years ago. Mike, if I ever teach you anything, don't you dare take the credit for it. Don't do it. Because it wasn't you that made it up. It wasn't you that wrote it. Look in verse 30. Daniel's saying this. He said, but as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living. But for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation of the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. You see, God gave Nebuchadnezzar the dream, the vision. God gave that to Nebuchadnezzar, and then he sealed it up. Why did he do that? Because he wanted to reveal himself and make himself known that he was more powerful than the gods that he had been serving, and that Daniel and these three guys that was with him, even though they were nothing, they were the scum of the Hebrews, the Judah kids. God wanted him to know that these three men, or four men that he considered as nothing, he was going to impart his wisdom to them for no other purpose other than, number one, to save them, because that's what he says, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation of the king. In other words, God gave it to us because we don't want you to kill us, number one. But number two, he wants you to know that he knows all your thoughts. He's the Word of God. And the Word of God can discern all your thoughts. God, this Bible can know everything that there is to know about you. Do you believe that? Say amen. That's what this Bible has the ability to do. I had a guy years ago, and I remember I was standing way back there. I don't remember what meeting we was having. I don't remember what it was. But he came to this church one night, and he said, I'm going to prophesy over you. And I was standing back there, and I went, what? And he said, oh yeah. He said, I'm getting something from God right now, and God wants me to tell you this. And I just went, okay. This was years ago. I have no idea what he said. You say, what, was he right? I don't know. I don't remember what he said. Okay, I couldn't tell you if he was right or wrong. You know why? All he had to do is quote Scripture. Mike, let me show you something God showed me. Maybe this will apply to you. I'll let God deal with you how you want to do it. Here's the Scripture right here. Amen? It's in the Bible. It's in the Scriptures. And that's what God does. God reveals mystery. Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Turn there. Amos chapter 3. Verse 7, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Now, the question is, and I dealt with this online last week. The question is, in some people's minds, are there this day, the time that we're living in right now, latter-day prophets in that they are receiving new messages and new words from God to be delivered to people? I will tell you what the Scripture says. Okay? Number one, my book of prophets and prophecy, my Sure-Water prophecy, ended with this statement. If any man adds to the words of the prophecies of this book, I will add unto him the plagues that are written therein. So number one, if you think that you've been given prophecies that are not in the Bible, they're new things from God, I feel really sorry for you because it's fixing to get bad on you. Because God said he'd add the plagues that are written in there. You go find out what he's talking about. Those people are in bad shape. That's rule number one. When Jesus himself said it at the end, This is his seal. It's like the end of the contract. And the end of the contract says, there are no more pages to this contract. This is it right here. It ends with page 7. And so if someone produces page 8, you say, no, sir. We put our signature at the bottom of page 7. There's no more things added to it. Amen? That's just simple contract law, and that's what this is. Okay? So, number one, they do not give latter-day prophecies, new things from God about what's going to happen. Years ago, I kind of was interested in what some of these guys had to say. I found out that every one of them was false, phony, fake, bogus. None of the things that they ever said was going to happen has ever happened. It does, that people don't fall for it. Every now and then, I'll scroll through Facebook, somebody's saying, oh, God gave me a dream last night of what's going to happen to this country. You want to know what's happening? You want to know what's going to happen to this country? Go read Genesis 18 and 19. That's all the prophecy you need to know. Maybe there's more. But anyway, what I'm telling you is, God finished it in Revelation chapter 22. Number two, but didn't Paul say that there were ministries, some apostles, some prophets? What does that mean? What is a prophet? Not according to what somebody else says, according to what the scripture says. It's real simple. In the book of Ezekiel, if you read this, you go through the book of Ezekiel, you see this over and over. Son of man, prophesy unto them. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord. You know what a prophet does? He doesn't always just predict the future. You know what a prophet does? He declares what God says. In that sense, as I'm standing up here to you today, I am prophesying to you from the sure word of prophecy. Does that make sense to everybody? So I'm not going to get up here and tell you, now I've had this dream and I think this is from the Lord, and I'm going to tell you what I think God's telling me. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'd mislead you through that, and I don't want to do that. So in the sense that I am giving you the verses from Scripture, in that sense, I am saying unto you and declaring unto you, this is thus saith the Lord. Does that make sense to everybody? In these times, because of the declaration there in Revelation 22, we cannot expect to think that there are going to be new words of God coming down from heaven through these latter-day prophets. That's a setup. That's a setup for the false prophet of Revelation chapter 13. And when we get into 2 Peter 2, that's what he's trying to convince you of. You're going to know the false prophets are teaching false doctrine. How will you know? You won't find it in the Bible. You won't find it in a sure word. It won't be there. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. To close this out, turn to Romans 16. He's gonna now identify how these prophets are speaking to us today. Do we believe that these gifts of the Spirit, once given to the early church, have now vanished away? No, I don't believe that. I think the gifts of the Spirit are still in operation. They're just in operation through the book. The power of the gifts of the Spirit are still being given. You know what? Even the gift of healing. You know what he said in the book of Psalms? He sent his word and healed them. His word heals people. It's his word that does those things. You say, well, you know, I've had cancer for 2 years and I've been reading the Bible every day and it hadn't healed me. Who said it was that kind of healing? What does it profit a man if he gets healed of cancer and dies and goes to hell? What does it profit? The healing that I want is the healing of my sin disease. That's the healing I want. Let me give you something here to help make sense of this. He sent his word and healed them. The healthcare industry right now is headed toward changing your DNA to cure your diseases. Don't do it. Don't do it. I can quote you scriptures. You say that's not in the Bible. It is too. Okay? Your DNA is the book that God wrote of you. Don't add the words and don't change. Don't take out any words. Amen? They're moving toward changing your DNA to heal your diseases. Okay, that is a corrupt version of what God said. He sent His Word and healed them. This is the incorruptible Word that heals all your diseases. I remember Warren Livingston. You remember, not Warren Livingston, Warren Bergman. Had cancer. Everybody prayed. Warren, we loved that man here. We loved him. He was one of the best men we've ever known. He got cancer, and a month later, he was dead. And everybody's praying, God heal him, God heal him, God heal him, God heal him. He did. He healed him. He cut out everything that was corrupt, which was his body. That's healing. I'll take it. I'll take it. Because it can never be undone. It can never be defiled. It can never go away. Some of you may not believe that. That's what I think. Romans chapter 16. Here's what he's saying. Verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you. See that word establish. It's got that S-T-A in it. That means it doesn't move. It's fixed. Establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. According to, here it is, the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. How? How is it made manifest? By the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. How was God going to make sure that all the nations would hear the right gospel? He put them in scriptures. He put them in scriptures. Let me give you an illustration of that, and then we're going to close, okay? When you go see the doctor, and the doctor says, I'm going to give you some medicine. It's going to kind of help you out a little bit. This will clear that up, all right? And he writes all that stuff on that piece of paper, and you're going, what in the world is that? Well, they know over at the pharmacy. So he writes all that down on that paper, and you go over to the pharmacy, and you hand them that paper. This is from my doctor. My doctor said to give me this. I have no idea what that is. And they said, oh, yeah, this is erythrostatin or something like that. I don't know. I made that up. And they know exactly how many pills you're supposed to get, how many times a day you're supposed to get it, how you're supposed to take it with food. All that's written down on there. Okay. Now, here's what you cannot do. You cannot go to Walmart Pharmacy, stand in line for 20 minutes like I did tonight, get up to there and say, can we help you? Yes, I got a prescription. My doctor wants me to take some medicine. Well, where's the prescription? Well, he didn't give me a prescription. He said that I'm to come over here and get 100 codeine pills. Because I need them. Okay, extra strength ones. The bad boys. Okay? And they'll say, yeah, right. Where's your prescription? Well, he said I didn't need one. He said I'd just come over here and tell you. It's Dr. So-and-so. You know him, don't you? He said I'd come over here and get 100 codeine pills. Extra strength. They're not going to do that, are they? You're lying through your teeth. Okay? You're lying through your teeth. And they know it. You're lying through your rotten out teeth because you've been taking that stuff too much. Amen? You go over there with paper with the doctor's seal on it, they'll believe it. Now the doctors are getting where they're printing them out so the guys can read it. Amen? But you go over there with the paper and now they'll believe it. It's the same way with a check. A check is just a piece of paper, but it's got your seal on it, it's got the bank information on it, and it tells somebody that your bank is going to give them $500, whatever that check amount is. It's all written on paper. God knew what He was doing, didn't He? He knew what He was doing when He invented paper and ink. And He gives us the more sure word of prophecy. So that if anything is ever in doubt, somebody said this, well, I want to know what God said. How will I know what God said? He preserved His Word for me right here so that if I have any question, I can ask God and I'm sure that He's going to show me what this book says. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. I want to ask you to do something for me tonight, okay? I don't know if this will sound weird to you. I'd hope it doesn't. But I'm going to ask you to pray for me that I spend more time in my Bible. And I mean it. Okay? There's things that I don't know that I want to know. And it's hard to describe. I don't even know what it is I don't know. Amen? But you know how can you tell if you're hungry? I have no idea what that means, Jimmy. You can't really describe how you know you're thirsty. You just know you're thirsty. Does that make sense? Okay? I'm in a place right now where I'm thirsty. Now, I don't know what I'm thirsty for, but I know I'm thirsty. I know that I'm thirsty for this, but I don't even know what it is. So I want you to pray for me that God will give me time, that God will give me the desire, the will to know more about what's in here. Okay? He's provoking me to jealousy. And I know what that means and you don't. Okay? And that's okay. God's done it before. So I want you to pray for me. All right? You lift me up in your prayers. I love you. I thank God for you every day. I don't ever want you to think that I think I'm some big Bible hotshot and you wouldn't know it without me. You got a Bible, you read it just as much as I do. Okay? God will show you something. In fact, that's God showing guys things and they're sending it to me and I'm amazed at it. And I'm going, God, why didn't you show me that? And God said, I just did. Didn't you read it? Yeah. Okay, I understand.